The Pendant Shakespeare presents Chapter 6 of Henry VI, Part 2.
The gaudy, blabbing, and remorseful day is crept into the bosom of the sea. And now loud howling wolves arouse the jades that drag the tragic melancholy night, who with their drowsy, slow, and flagging wings clip dead men's graves, and from their misty jaws breathe foul, contagious darkness in the air. Therefore bring forth the soldiers of our prize, for whilst our pinnace anchors in the downs, here shall they make their ransom on the sand, or with their blood stain this discolored shore. Master, this prisoner freely give I thee, and thou that art his mate, make boot of this. The other, Walter Whitmore, is thy share.
What is my ransom, master? Let me know.
What? Think you much to pay 2,000 crowns and bear the name and port of gentlemen? Cut both the villains' throats, for die you shall. The lives of those which we have lost in fight be counterpoised with such a petty sum.
I'll give it, sir, and therefore spare my life. And so will I unright home for it straight.
I lost mine eye in laying the prize abroad, and therefore to revenge it shalt thou die. And so should thee, if I might have my will.
Be not so rash. Take ransom. Let him live.
I am a gentleman. Rate me at what thou wilt. Thou shalt be paid.
And so am I. My name is Walter Whitmore. How now? Why starest thou? What doth death affright?
Thy name affrights me. In whose sound is death? A cunning man did calculate my birth, and told me that by water I should die. Yet, let not this make thee bloody-minded.
Never yet did base dishonor blur our name, but with our sword we wiped away the blot. Therefore, when merchant-like I sell revenge, broke be my sword, my arms torn and defaced, and I proclaim it a coward through the world.
Stay, Whitmore, for thy prisoner is a prince, the Duke of Suffolk, William de la Pole.
The Duke of Suffolk, muffled up in rags.
Oh, aye, but these rags are no part of the Duke. Jove sometimes went disguised, and why not I?
But Jove was never slain. As thou shalt be.
Oh, obscure and lowly swain, King Henry's blood, the honorable blood of Lancaster, must not be shed by such a jaded groom. Hast thou not kissed thy hand and held my stirrup? Bareheaded, plodded by my footcloth mule, and thought thee happy when I shook my head? How often hast thou waited at my cup, fed from my trencher, kneeled down at the board? When I have feasted with Queen Margaret. Remember it, and let it make thee crestfallen. Aye, and allay this thy abortive pride. How in our voiding lobby hast thou stood and duly waited for my coming forth? This hand of mine hath writ in thy behalf, and therefore shall it charm thy riotous tongue.
Speak, Captain, shall I stab the forlorn swain?
First let my word stab him, as he hath me.
Ha! Base slave, thy words are blunt, and so art thou.
Convey him hence, and on our longboat's side strike off his head.
Thou darest not, for thy own.
Yes, Pole.
Pole?
Pool, Sir Pool, Lord. I kennel, puddle, sink, whose filth and dirt troubles the silver spring where England drinks. Now will I dam up this thy yawning mouth, for swallowing the treasure of the realm. Thy lips that kiss the queen shall sweep the ground. And thou that smiledest at good Duke Humphrey's death, against the senseless winds shalt grin in vain, who in contempt shall hiss at thee again. And wedded be thou to the hags of hell, for daring to affy a mighty lord unto the daughter of a worthless king. By thee, Anjou and Maine were sold to France. The false revolting Normans through thee disdain to call us lord, and Picardy hath slain their governors, surprised our forts, and sent the ragged soldiers wounded home. The princely Warwick and the Nevilles all, whose dreadful swords were never drawn in vain, as hating thee are rising up in arms. And now the House of York, thrust from the crown by shameful murder of a guiltless king, burns with revenging fire. The commons here in Kent are up in arms. And to conclude, reproach and beggary is crept into the palace of our king, and all by thee. Away, convey him hence.
Oh, that I were a god to shoot forth thunder upon these paltry, servile, abject drudges. Small things make base men proud. This villain here, being captain of a pinnace, threatens more than Bargulus, the strong Illyrian pirate. Drones suck not eagles' blood, but rob beehives. It is impossible that I should die by such a lowly vassal as thyself. Thy words move rage and not remorse in me. I go a message from the Queen of France. I charge thee, waft me safely cross the channel.
Come, Suffolk, I must waft thee to thy death.
It is thee I fear.
Thou shalt have cause to fear before I leave thee. What, are ye daunted now? Now will ye stoop?
My gracious lord, entreat him, speak him fair.
Suffolk's imperial tongue is stern and rough, used to command, untaught to plead for favor. Far be it we should honor such as these with humble suit. No, rather let my head stoop to the block, than these knees bow to any, save to the God of heaven and to my king. And sooner dance upon a bloody pole than stand uncovered to the vulgar groom. True nobility is exempt from fear. More can I bear than you dare execute.
Hail him away, and let him talk no more.
Come, soldiers, show what cruelty you can, that this my death may never be forgot. Great men oft die by vile Bizonians. A Roman sworder and bandito slave murdered sweet Sully. Brutus's bastard hand stabbed Julius Caesar. Savage islanders, Pompey the Great, and... And... Suffolk dies by pirates.
By pirates.
There, let his head and lifeless body lie until the queen, his mistress, bury it.
Oh, barbarous and bloody spectacle! His body will I bear unto the king. If he revenge it not, yet will his friends. So will the queen, that living held him dear.
Come and get thee a sword. Though made of a lath, they have been up these 2 days.
They have the more need to sleep now, then.
I tell thee, Jack Cade the clothier means to dress the commonwealth and turn it, and set a new nap upon it.
So he had need, for 'tis threadbare. Well, I say it was never merry world in England since gentlemen came up.
Oh, miserable age. Virtue is not regarded in handicraftsmen.
The nobility thinks scorn to go in leather aprons.
Nay, more. The king's council are no good workmen.
True. And yet, it is said, labor in thy vocation, which is as much to say as, let the magistrates be labouring men, and therefore should we be magistrates.
Ah, thou hast hit it. For there's no better sign of a brave mind than a hard hand.
I see them. There's best son, the tanner of Wingham.
He shall have the skin of our enemies to make dog's leather of.
And Dick the butcher.
Then his sin struck down like an ox, and iniquity's throat cut like a calf.
Come, let's fool him with them.
We John Cade, so termed of our supposed father.
Or rather, of stealing a cade of herrings.
My father was a Mortimer.
He was an honest man and a good bricklayer.
My mother, a Plantagenet.
I knew her well. She was a midwife.
My wife descended of the Lacys.
She was indeed a peddler's daughter and sold many laces.
Therefore am I of an honorable house.
Aye, by my faith, the field is honorable. And there was he born, under a hedge, for his father had never a house.
Valiant I am.
Unless needs, for beggary is valiant.
I am able to endure much.
No question of that, for I have seen him whipped 3 market days together.
I fear neither sword nor fire.
He need not fear the sword, for his coat is of proof. But methinks he should stand in fear of fire, being burnt in the hand for stealing of sheep.
Be brave then, for your captain is brave, and vows reformation. There shall be in England 7 halfpenny loaves sold for a penny. The 3-hooped pot shall have 10 hoops, and I will make it felony to drink small beer. All the realm shall be in common, and in Cheapside shall my palfrey go to grass. And when I am king, as king I will be,
God save your majesty.
I thank you, good people. There shall be no money. All shall eat and drink on my score. And I will apparel them all in 1 livery, that they may agree like brothers and worship me as their lord.
The first thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers.
Nay, that I mean to do. Is not this a lamentable thing, that of the skin of an innocent lamb should be made parchment? That parchment, being scribbled o'er, should undo a man? Some say the bee stings, but I say 'tis the bee's wax. For I did but seal once to a thing, and I was never mine own man since. How now? Who's there?
The clerk of Chatham. He can write and read and cast a compt.
Oh, monstrous!
Has a book in his pocket with red letters in't.
Nay then, he is a conjurer.
Nay, he can make obligations and write courthand.
I am sorry for it. The man is a proper man of mine honor. Unless I find him guilty, he shall not die. Come hither, sirrah. I must examine thee. What is thy name?
Emmanuel.
Dost thou use to write thy name? Or hast thou a mark to thyself, like an honest, plain-dealing man?
Sir, I thank God I have been so well brought up that I can write my name.
Away with him, I say! Hang him with his pen and inkhorn about his neck!
Where's our general?
Here I am, thou particular fellow.
Fly! Sir Humphrey Stafford and his brother are hard by with the king's forces.
Stand, villain, stand, or I'll fell thee down. He shall be encountered with a man as good as himself. He is but a knight, is I?
No.
To equal him, I will make myself a knight presently. Rise up, Sir John Mortimer. Now have at him.
Rebellious hinds, the filth and scum of Kent. Marked for the gallows, lay your weapons down. Home to your cottages, forsake this groom. The king is merciful if you revolt.
But angry, wrathful, and inclined to blood if you go forward. Therefore, yield or die.
As for these silken-coated slaves, I care not. It is to you, good people, that I speak, over whom, in time to come, I hope to reign, for I am rightful heir unto the crown.
Villain, thy father was a plasterer. And thou thyself, a shearman, art thou not?
And Adam was a gardener.
And what of that?
Marry this. Edmund Mortimer, Earl of March, married the Duke of Clarence's daughter, did he not?
Aye, sir.
By her he had 2 children at 1 birth.
That's false.
But I say 'tis true. The elder of them, being put to nurse, was by a beggar woman stolen away, and, ignorant of his birth and parentage, became a bricklayer when he came to age. His son am I. Deny it, if you can.
Nay, 'tis too true. Therefore he shall be king.
And will you credit this base drudge's words that speaks he knows not what?
Aye, marry, will we.
Therefore get ye gone.
Jack Cade, the Duke of York hath taught you this.
He lies, for I invented it myself. Go to, sirrah, tell the king from me that, for his father's sake, Henry V, in whose time boys went to span counter for French crowns, I am content he shall reign, but I'll be protector over him.
And furthermore, we'll have the Lord Say's head for selling the Dukedom of Maine.
And good reason, for thereby is England maimed, and fain to go with a staff, but that my puissance holds it up. Fellow kings, I tell you that Lord Say hath gelded the Commonwealth, and made it a eunuch, and more than that, he can speak French, and therefore he is a traitor.
Oh, gross and miserable ignorance!
Nay, answer if you can. The Frenchmen are our enemies. Go to them. I ask but this. Can he that speaks with the tongue of an enemy be a good counselor? Or no? No, no.
Therefore, we'll have his head.
Well, seeing gentle words will not prevail. Assail them with the army of the king.
Herald, away. And throughout every town, proclaim them traitors that are up with Cade, that those which fly before the battle ends may, even in their wives and children's sight, be hanged up for example at their doors. And you, that be the king's friends, follow me.
And you that love the commons, follow me. Now show yourselves, men. 'Tis for liberty. We will not leave one lord, one gentleman. Spare none, but such as go in clouted shoon, for they are thrifty, honest men, and such as would, but that they dare not, take our parts.
They are all in order and march toward us.
But then are we in order when we are most out of order? Come, march forward! Where's Dick, the butcher of Ashford?
Here, sir.
They fell before thee like sheep and oxen, and thou behavest thyself as if thou hast been in thine own slaughterhouse. Therefore, thus will I reward thee. The Lent shall be as long again as it is, and thou shalt have a license to kill for 100, lacking one.
I desire no more.
And to speak truth, thou deservest no less. The bodies shall be dragged at my horse heels till I do come to London, where we will have the mayor's sword borne before us.
If we mean to thrive and do good, break open the jails and let out the prisoners.
Fear not that, I warrant thee. Come, let's march towards London.
Oh, Suffolk. Oft have I heard that grief softens the mind and makes it fearful and degenerate. Think, therefore, on revenge and cease to weep. But who can cease to weep and look on this? Here may his head lie on my throbbing breast. But where's the body that I should embrace?
What answer makes your grace to the rebel's supplication?
I'll send some holy bishop to entreat, for God forbid so many simple souls should perish by the sword. And I myself, rather than bloody war, shall cut them short. We'll parley with Jack Cade, the general. But stay, I'll read it over once again.
Ugh, barbarous villains!
Hath this lovely face ruined like a wandering planet over me? And could it not enforce them to relent, that were unworthy to behold the same?
Lord Say, Jack Cade hath sworn to have thy head.
Aye, but I hope your highness shall have his.
How now, madam? Still lamenting and mourning for Suffolk's death? I fear me, love, if that I had been dead, thou wouldst not have mourned so much for me.
No, my love. I should not mourn, but die for thee.
How now, what news? Why comest thou in such haste?
The rebels are in Southwark. Fly, my lord. Jack Cade proclaims himself Lord Mortimer, descended from the Duke of Clarence's house, and vows to crown himself in Westminster. His army is a ragged multitude of hinds and peasants, rude and merciless. Sir Humphrey Stafford and his brother's death have given them heart and courage to proceed. All scholars, lawyers, courtiers, gentlemen, they call false caterpillars and intend their death.
O graceless men, they know not what they do.
My gracious lord, return to Killingworth until a power be raised to put them down.
Were the Duke of Suffolk now alive, these Kentish rebels would be soon appeased.
Lord Say, the traitors hate thee, therefore away with us to Killingworth.
So might your grace's person be in danger. The sight of me is odious in their eyes. And therefore in this city will I stay, and live alone as secret as I may.
Jack Cade hath gotten London Bridge. The citizens fly and forsake their houses. The rascal people, thirsting after prey, join with the traitor, and they jointly swear to spoil the city and your royal court.
Then linger not, my lord. Away, take horse.
Come, Margaret. God our hope will succor us.
My hope is gone. Now Suffolk is deceased.
Farewell, my lord. Trust not the Kentish rebels.
Trust nobody, for fear you be betrayed.
The trust I have is in mine innocence. Therefore, I am bold and resolute.
The Pendant Shakespeare, also known as the Wild Bill Variety Show, presents Chapter 6 of Henry VI, Part 2. Featuring the voice talents of Jeff Robinson as the Pirate Captain, Kendra Murray as Michael the Peasant and Lord Say, Gareth Bowley as Whitmore, W. Keith Timms as Lord Suffolk, Loretta Chang as Bevis and First Messenger, Kirsty Wolven as Holland and Second Messenger, Bruce Davis as Jack Cade, aka Lord Mortimer, Josh Kibbe as Dick the Butcher and the Gentleman, Julia Eve as Sir Humphrey, Adam Blandford as Sir Stafford, Justine Leah Hintz as Queen Margaret, E. Rachel Ward as Buckingham, and Emmeline Tuck as King Henry VI. Audio adaptation by Morgan Z. Soule. Directed by Jeff Robinson. Produced by Pendant Productions. This production is copyright 2024, Pendant Productions.
For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.